Hi, friends. I'm Abby Feeder, certified life and fertility coach, and you're listening to The Fertility Chick. This show is all about the path to parenthood, which is never the same for everyone, and our guests' professional success along the way. I'm so happy to welcome another fertility coach on the show today. Jennifer Robertson is a wonderful, beautiful human being from Down Under, who is giving so much of her heart after her own journey back to the fertility world, like many of us do. We talk about her journey to surrogacy and her seven-year battle with infertility. On her website, she has a quote that says something like, "Infertility robbed me of my innocence and put a warrior there instead." And that is exactly what Jennifer is. Here she is. Please enjoy. Hi, Jennifer. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm so excited.
It's the next day for you because you're in Australia, which always freaks me out. Time, travel, hours, all the things.
Yeah.
You have so many beautiful nuggets of wisdom to share with us. So why don't we start with how you ended up with your family and maybe go backwards from there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am very blessed to have two beautiful children today. Luca is 9, Sophie is 7. And we spent 7 years, a lot of money, a lot of IVF cycles, a lot of heartbreak, a lot of tears to get there. So I'll give you the very quick version of that. So my husband and I got married, 33, and we were just like, you know what? Let's have a family. We were both ready. I had been on the pill for, I think it was about 16 years before I started. Naively, I was just like, oh, I'll just go off the pill and it will happen.
Yeah, the next month, that'll be it, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And just to preface, I am your typical type A personality. So I'm like, I plan, I strategize, I'm, you know, project manage. I'm just kind of like, right, this is what's going to happen. And then in 9 months' time, we're going to have a baby. So I'll go to maternity leave and all of those different things. Well, looking back, I'm like, oh, honey, you know, that's so sweet that you thought that. So yeah, we started trying, was struggling and went to our doctor and they did all of the tests. My husband's sperm wasn't then very fantastic. Like it was fine, but not top notch or anything like that. And my cycle was irregular. So I just couldn't nail it down. So at the time our specialist just kind of said, well, why don't you just do IVF? I love it when they just say that.
Just do IVF. Hold on. Yeah. I also want to ask you one quick thing. Your cycle wasn't normal, which of course you didn't know because you'd been on the pill for 16 years. Prior to going on the pill as a teenager, were you having normal periods? You had no idea that anything might be off.
No. Okay. And naively, I went on the pill for so many different reasons. Number one, I became sexually active, but also
good job,
mainly,
girl. Good job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Protection. And also because I didn't have a regular period and I had, you know, as you're going through like the hormonal changes, I had pimples and stuff like that. So it was just one of those things, you know, like I love it when they like, just go on the pill, you know, and it's recommended for so many different things, like even the marina these days, or just stick that in your arm, you know? So, I mean, obviously back then I didn't know I had a problem. I wanted to fix it. And exactly the same when they said to me, just do IVF. I was like, okay, we got a problem. Let's just fix it. IVF is a solution to all of our problems. Well, it wasn't completely. And so we started doing an IVF cycle and then they realized that I wasn't getting a lining on my uterus. So I could create all of the embryos in the world and they couldn't do anything with them because they just couldn't implant them inside my uterus. So we spent the next 6 to 12 months, like we started natural therapies and I went and saw a homeopath. I did the acupuncture. I did the supplements. I did the herbs. I did absolutely everything. We tried hormone replacement therapy. I tried Viagra pessaries. Like that's an experience. Like all of these different things, exploratory surgeries. And then eventually our specialist just said to us, look, there's no other way that you can have a baby of your own but using a surrogate. And you say that to someone like me and that loss of control, it was a huge adjustment. And here in Australia, commercial surrogacy isn't legal. And at the time that we went through it, the laws had only really just been passed. So it was all very new for everyone involved. But we were lucky that my sister-in-law was just the most giving angel, just the most incredible woman. She put up her hand and said, I'll have a baby for you. Gosh. It sounds really silly saying this, but I didn't realize how big that was until I had a baby myself. Up until now, I was kind of like, wow, it's a privilege. I just wanted to get pregnant. Like, I just wanted to grow a baby inside of me. I craved it by then, after being on that roller coaster for almost a year and a half by then. That's all I thought about. So I was like, I knew it was a gift, but I didn't realize how intensive it would be. And I didn't realize how hard it would be on all three of us, you know, my husband, his sister, and me, because I just thought, once again, naively going into it, oh, we've got a healthy uterus now. She'd had two boys before that. So we knew that she could get pregnant. She loved being pregnant, had no issues. So we're like, great, we've got embryos on ice. We have a healthy uterus. Let's get this show on the road. And so we took around, it was about a year and a half to 2 years on that cycle, and 9 IVF cycles.
I want to wait. I want to ask you a couple of quick things before I forget them. Commercial surrogacy is illegal, but what we call like compassionate surrogacy. So you have to know the person and then it is legal. Like, how does it, yeah. That's the rule. Okay.
Yeah. So it's altruistic. So there are several tick boxes that you have to go through. You know, at the time, my mom put her hand up and my mom was like, I'll have a baby for you. But, you know, like there's a certain age bracket, yes, that you have to be within. You have to know them. So whether it's a period of, I can't remember what it is, what it was, it must have, you know, 6 to 12 months, or you have to have had a relationship. It can't be just a stranger off the street. They have to have had a healthy child before as well. We had to undergo all sorts of counseling, and like our doctor had to go before a court saying there's no other way that these guys can have a child of their own but going down this path. So like there were a lot of hoops to jump through, and even though it was not for commercial gain, it was still very expensive.
I assume like all the healthcare costs and maternity, absolutely, leave. And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here in Australia, surrogacy isn't covered by our typical insurance. So we were paying out of pocket 100% for all of the same cycles that if you were going through IVF would have been mostly covered by it. So it was frustration, but you do what you've got to do, right?
Sure. Okay. Thank you for clarifying all of that. So it was hard on the three of you.
Yeah. So we muddled our way through it for a year and a half. As I said, 9 IVF cycles. She eventually got pregnant and unfortunately a few weeks later had a miscarriage. Mm. So that was absolutely devastating. Not only just a loss, but also the guilt that I carried of, oh my goodness, like she had never experienced this before. And now all of a sudden we had done this to her. Mm. And I guess the biggest fear out of all of that, I was like, what if she doesn't want to keep going? Because I could have kept going forever. Like, yeah. I could have just kept it. Well, I say that now. It's right. Quite easy when there wasn't a finish line, right? But I just, at the time, I was like, I have to get this done. This can't be for nothing. So I wanted to push through, but I was scared that she would wave the white flag. And rightly so. She had been through so much. But she was just as determined as us, and we decided we kept going. So eventually she got pregnant again and Luca was born. So that was just absolutely incredible. But obviously that's not where our story ends.
There's, of course,
a few more twists and turns. So 2 weeks after Luca was born, I got pregnant naturally myself.
Just insane.
Yeah. And it's one of those stories that everyone's like, oh, you hear all of that all of the time. And I'm like, it was amazing. Like, I'm not going to say it's not amazing, but it's so frustrating and annoying. And telling people that story,
so frustrating and annoying too.
Oh my goodness. Like, I sometimes apologize. I'm like, yes, I'm that person, you know, like it was, I don't know. I had a 2-week-old baby and I was going in for a blood draw and the pathologists were kind of looking at me going, well, that's not possible. Like physically, that is not possible. And they're like, okay, well, I've got a little story to tell you. And, you know, it was just amazing. It was a very awkward conversation having with my sister-in-law, kind of going, oh, you know how you went through all of that? Apparently I can do this myself. After all of the doctors said that this would, you know, never happen, here we are. So many different mixed emotions at the time. But unfortunately, 9 weeks later, I had my own loss. Mm. Like, I feel like I was pissed off. I really was pissed off that we had finally gotten off the fertility roller coaster after 5 years of all of these struggles. And then I was pushed back on it, given this huge amount of hope, and then kicked on my ass again. It was just like this, it was a pure injustice. And I was so angry. And I felt like I deserved the joy of our newborn baby. And here I was grieving a loss at the same time as that. So I was pretty pissed off, as you can imagine. But at the same time, I knew now that my body could apparently do this. So we went through the next 6 months of not trying, but trying at the same time. Like, I was pretending that I wasn't trying, but who are we kidding? Like, sure, we're always trying.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I got pregnant naturally 6 months later and went through 9 months of pregnancy after infertility or loss, which is a completely different journey in of itself. I have a support community called Your Pregnancy Haven, which is for women who are pregnant after infertility or loss. And that is because it is such a different space. Yes. I think that when we're on our fertility journey, we're just kind of like, if I can just get pregnant and then everything will just be sweet.
Totally.
And then we get pregnant and we're like, whoa, what is this?
Right.
So yeah, it was 9 months of ups and downs, of anxiety, of all of those different things. And we got there in the end. So he was born and now we have her. So two completely different experiences and a completely different path to get there. But I guess it inspired me to do what I do today.
Which I want to get to. But one more question. Do they each know their story of how, I assumed
Yeah. So I have written a book about it because it's one of these things you're like, oh, you should write a book about this. Like, it's just this unbelievable story. So I have written a book about it. But, and I tell about this in one of the chapters of when we told Luke, because we had always intended to tell him, like we couldn't not.
Yeah.
Because it was such an amazing story. But we were kind of like, oh, when he gets a little bit older, and he must have been about maybe 3 or 4 at the time. And we were in the car on the way to my husband's parents' place. And we were going to catch up with the whole family. And I feel like they have this sixth sense that they just know when you're not completely telling the whole truth. And so we were talking about babies and tummies. And I think that a few of their friends at daycare, their moms were pregnant. So it was like a topic of conversation. And so they were talking about when they were in my tummy. And we were kind of evading it and all of that when Luca was asking me. And then point blank, he was just kind of like, "Mommy, was I in your tummy?" My husband and I looked at each other and we're like,
I guess we're having this conversation right now.
Yes, this is the time. And so, yeah, we just explained to him that my tummy was broken. And so Annie Renee had him in her tummy. And then my tummy was fixed. And so Sophie was in mine. And we thought it would be a really big deal. And he just kind of went, yep, okay. And then started talking about something completely different. And I think that I was the one with the problem with it. And it wasn't until I was kind of like, oh, I don't want it to affect him and everything. The truth was that it affected me. I was the one that hadn't accepted that this is the path that I had to go down. And then I thought, if he's okay with it, then why on earth should I have a problem with it? And we got to my husband's mum and dad's place and his auntie was there. And I just whispered it in his ear. I was like, why don't you go and thank her for having her in your tummy? And they didn't know at the time that
You told them, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Like, cue the waterworks. And he just walked up to her and everyone was kind of around. And it was like this perfect moment where he just said, thank you for having me in your tummy. And she looked at me and she was like, did he just say what I think? You know, it was just this, I'm getting shivers, like tingles just thinking about it now. And yeah, it was just this beautiful, beautiful moment.
I love that. I had C-section and my kids were recently asking how babies come out. And I was like, well, mommy had a cut in her tummy. Like, I didn't even broach the vaginal birth because I'm like, I don't think I can go down that road yet with them. My daughter's going to freak out. My son's going to be completely confused. So there's all different ways, but the way mommy did it was, and I explained what a C-section is, and it makes total sense to them. Like, if you were in the belly, well, then of course that's how you would come out. And I'm like, oh God, one day I'm going to have to really explain this to them and I'm not ready.
Yeah, and I think that there's a way to share the truth, but in a way that is appropriate for them.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay, so this brought you to your work. I know you had sort of a very corporate job while you were going through this and you thought that that was impacting you, the stress of that job.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I was an accountant for I'm showing my age now, but you know,
a lot of years.
50, yeah, a lot of years. And always in a stressful environment. And when my husband and I were trying to conceive, you know, I was an associate director at a big four, one of the big four accounting firms in the world. And I was working really long hours. There would be nothing for me to, if we had a deadline at work, for me to be working until 2 o'clock in the morning, get a taxi home from work, and then wake up at 5 o'clock the next morning and then go into work. But the thing was, they had a fantastic maternity plan. Mm-hmm. And I was holding on, and I knew that something had to give. So I made the choice to look for a less stressful job. And at the time, my husband was working at Australia Zoo, and he was loving it there. And there was this job going there for just an accounts person. And I knew that it was a huge step down. But in responsibility, I was like, I just need something stress-free for right now, because it was becoming too much. So I applied for the job there. And of course, they were like, you're overqualified for this position, but we need a CFO.
Oh my God. You're like, you don't understand. I'm trying to downsize my job.
But of course, my personality, I was like, oh, that sounds like a great opportunity. Sure. So I took the job there.
Wow. And
it was a fantastic experience, but of course it wasn't any less stress. But when you're in that corporate level, that level of management, I didn't tell anyone what I was going through. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was working at one of the big four accounting firms, we were going through our IVF cycle, and I was in the waiting room ready to get my egg collection, and our receptionist walked in. And I freaked out because I hadn't told anyone. I was doing all of this on my lunch breaks. It was like this secret society. And yeah, she walked in because she was doing an egg collection because she was donating eggs for a girlfriend of hers. Like, you can't make this shit up.
Wow. Did you talk to her? Or did you hide?
I had to. We were both kind of looking at each other at this small waiting room. Like, it was just this. Yeah. So I had to tell her what I was going through. But apart from that, I really kept it tight to my chest for so many different reasons, right? I felt like I needed that compartmentalization. I could have the freedom at work. At work, I was just Jen, who was the CFO. Like, I was just very corporate, professional. So it provided me that space. But on the other hand, it was also very lonely as well. So it was a lot of pretending. It was a lot of making up excuses as to why I couldn't be at work for when I was going through for an egg collection, all of those different things. So I think that there's no right or wrong way to go through this when you have to work at the same time, but it's hard no matter what, whether you tell them or whether you don't tell them.
So at what point did you leave the zoo? By the way, were you like working in the zoo? Were you going to the zoo every day to work?
Yeah.
That's fun. That's fun. Yes. I feel like that's a very maternal, you get like a lot of maternal instincts from animals in some ways.
It was beautiful. As someone who's an accountant, you don't historically have a really cool interesting place. Job.
Yeah.
But for the first time, you know, I'd tell people where I worked and they're like, oh my goodness, that's fantastic. And then I'd be like, yeah, but I'm in the office. You know, I'm not like a handler. Right.
But still,
we got to experience all of these different things. As an accountant, when you do stock takes, it was really nice. You count the animals. Like, that was pretty cool. So it was a different experience, but it was really good as well. But I was there right through when we gave, you know, when we had Luca, and then when I got pregnant again as well and had Sophie. So I was right up there until about 4 years ago when I completely made the transition out because I wanted to dedicate my time to what I'm doing full time. It just, had a lot
about
more
that.
Meaning.
Yeah. 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 Let's talk about what you do now full time.
Yeah. So I am a fertility coach. I focus more around the mindset and the emotional side of things. So I'm a certified holistic life coach and mind body practitioner. And I support women through the emotional thing. And I wanted to become a coach rather than a therapist or a counselor because I went and saw counselors on my fertility journey and I didn't really gel with them because I was kind of like, give me something to do, give me something tangible. And so that's what I do with my clients is we talk through the emotional side of things, but we also strategize in terms of having the tough conversations, like what are some habits that they can introduce in their life? And it's not just surface level stuff, it's underneath. And that's really what gets me going. Being able to support women in the way that I needed the support and I didn't have it. I didn't know where to find it. Instagram back then, I don't even know if I had an account back then. So it just wasn't this big thing as it is now. So now I feel like there's a lot more. Maybe it's just in the circles I roll in now, but there, I feel like there is a lot more emphasis on it. But I support women who are trying to conceive, who are experiencing pregnancy loss. And more recently, in the last couple of years, I created Your Pregnancy Haven because I was finding that, you know, I was coaching women that were getting pregnant and then all of a sudden, that's it.
Right.
Like, where do they go? The typical pregnancy forums are really triggering and they no longer fit into that infertility community. Right. So where do they go? So I saw the need and I created Your Pregnancy Haven, which is a beautiful community. We have lots of information. We have a doula in there as well. Lots of resources. We interview a whole heap of experts, but it's just this a collaborative space where we can share and we get them through their pregnancy. So from the moment that they find out that they're pregnant, and 6 months ago, our members, they didn't want to leave us. So they're like, we're not leaving after we give birth. So we created a postpartum community as well. So because that's just as hard as well. Like
it is motherhood after infertility. Is it actually something I did not expect to be a thing? And it is such a thing.
Yeah, because you're like, I should be enjoying this more because I fought so hard to get here. And there is the guilt attached to it. So, I provide a whole lot of support, whether it's through one-on-one coaching, whether it's through programs, whether it's through my book, it's just to help women who are going through all of the stuff.
How was it different for you, obviously physically, but emotionally, to go through surrogacy versus pregnancy in terms of being the type A control freak that you are, which I find so many people on this show that I have on are, and releasing control through infertility is hard enough, but then releasing control of somebody else carrying your precious jewel, I think feels so hard.
Mm.
Did you feel a sense of relief when it was your own body? Like I always say, I was waiting for the shoe to drop for 40 weeks, right? 37 weeks. And I know you said you experienced that, but which one was, I guess, easier or harder to release control?
Good question.
It's a long way for ask a very short question. Sorry.
Well, I think because I had no choice in the surrogacy, I feel like that was somewhat easier because there was no choice. Whereas in my own pregnancy, you're living inside of it. There's no any kind of distraction or meditation or anything like that that's going to help you release that. You're the driver, right? You're like, you're not the passenger here. And so everyone else is kind of like, look how amazing this pregnancy thing is. And you're like, I just need to keep my eye on the road here. Whereas in surrogacy, I was a passenger. In terms of what was more difficult, I think like they're both hard. What I will say about surrogacy is, and I didn't realize, it's amazing the clarity that comes after you're outside of it and you can look backwards and go, oh, that's what was happening to me. Because at the time I was just kind of like, I am so ungrateful because on one hand, yes, I was so grateful that we were pregnant and this pregnancy was going well. But on the other hand, I was grieving and I didn't realize it at the time until a couple of years ago, I listened to a podcast and I think it was Gabrielle Union was talking about her surrogacy journey. And she said, as soon as I saw we went in for our first scan, she's like, it hit me. It was grief. And I was like, oh, ouch. Yes, that's what I felt as well. It was this grief of I couldn't get it done. I'm missing out on all of these different things. That was really tough, but I didn't know it was grief. And I just thought that I was a bad person because everyone was like, oh, you must be so happy. This is such wonderful news. And I was like, yeah. And I'm so sad because I don't get to feel this. I don't get to experience this. And I don't get to control this either.
Mm. Do you feel like that unprocessed grief was part of what you were feeling when Luca wanted to know how he was born and you weren't necessarily going to tell him? And how do you feel like it resolved for you? How did you make it resolve?
It was a culmination of everything. It was grief. It was frustration. It was anger as well. So much rage. I was so angry at the whole world that we had to go through this when other people seemingly just got pregnant just by not trying or going on a holiday or just getting drunk.
Yeah. Must be nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was all of those things. On this journey, I talk about our self-worth a lot. And for me, it stole a lot of that. So it's been a gradual process to build it back up. But I am not sitting here before you and going, I am healed. Praise the Lord. Or like, I'm still in the shit. I'm still working my way through it. And I think that when you deal with any kind of grief, it's not about getting to this place of the healed and it's completely behind you. It's a part of me every single day, but it's trying to work out how to hold that. And just talking about it, I'm feeling emotional, like just talking about it now. So how do you get to that place where you're healed? I don't think that it's a destination that we need to focus on, because then it makes us feel like even more shit, because you're like, oh, I'm not doing a good job because I'm not healed yet. But I think that it's just chipping away at it every single day to work out how to hold it in a way that feels comfortable for you, where you no longer feel like the guilt or that sense of I couldn't get it done or there's something wrong with me, or getting to that place of acceptance that this is the path and it is what it is and it's okay for me to kind of go, that really sucks. And it's like, it kind of, oh, everything happens for a reason. And, you know, like this was the, like, no.
And in the work you and I both do, I always describe it as you have your dream vision of what your family is going to look like. And when anything is pulled from that dream vision, there is a mourning period, and it can be a day or a week or a month or a lifetime. There's no rule about that. But I think sometimes we're surprised, like even when I have my happy ending, I'm surprised how attached I still feel to the infertility journey. Because you assume once you get what you are going for, well, then that's your new identity. But I can't just drop what I went through for also many, many, many years. And so it is finding a way to honor that and be excited and joyful about the fact that I got my happy ending. But like, I'm not the first person to say this, but when you were pregnant and they'd be like, is this your first? I could never say yes, ever. Because I felt like I was doing a disservice to my losses and to my journey. And so I would say my first that made it this far, and I would feel horrible because I know I was making the person feel badly, but also like, don't ask that question. That's a terrible one. So it is, it's like, again, holding both and giving service to the pieces that you feel like you put into it, which was a lot.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I don't want to forget it. I don't want to move past it. A year ago, I'm 47 now, right? And a year ago, I got my first ever tattoo. I was like, yes.
I saw one on your arm. Is that one?
Yes. And so I got an L, a butterfly, and an S to signify our loss, Luca, our loss, Sophie.
Yes.
And I was surprised how much relief I felt when I got that, because I was like, it's a part of me now.
Yes.
And as I said, I don't want to forget it. Like, I don't feel like I'm a victim to it anymore. I feel like doing the work that I am doing, I'm now like, I've taken it by the balls and I've been like, no, you don't get to say that I'm not worthy anymore. And I'm going to pass this on and empower other women so that then they don't feel like they are unworthy because of all of the stuff that they are going through.
And really, for the control freak in us all, I am also one, that is the best way to take back the control of the journey that you kind of didn't have control over at the time. I love it. Okay, so just in closing, I like to ask people, and you've said a few already, but is there any phrase or cliche or saying that maybe you grew up with or you tell your kids all the time that you think about in your work or in your life every day? Like I often say, one that I went through, especially from fertility, was a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And I bring that to so many things now that I didn't think about before. So if there's anything that comes to your mind.
Oh, look, I love me a good quote. So I have a million of them racing around in my head. I love the one by Gloria Steinem, "The truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off."
I love that one.
Yeah. And that's what this is all about, right?
Love it.
Yeah.
A great one.
It is about seeing the truth here. And yeah, it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable, but yeah.
I love that
one. Oh, I love a good Glennon Doyle as well. You know, we can do hard things. Absolutely.
We say that in our house almost every day. She doesn't even realize what an impact that can be on a five-year-old. Because they're like, well, I can't. It's hard. And I'm like, well, we can do hard things. And they're like, oh, yeah, we can. And you just see, you know, it's funny. I even said that recently to somebody in my life who's older, much older. And it's shifted everything for them. They weren't familiar with it, right? Whereas if you start it young at like 5 years old, like I hope my kids always remember we can do hard things. It's such a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Jennifer, thank you so much for being here. We'll link out to all of your stuff so people can find you. And I'm just so glad that we were able to connect.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Me too.
Okay, Jennifer, thank you so much. Wanted to talk about a couple fertility in the news items. First of all, the Pope, as you may have seen, denounced surrogacy, which in light of Jennifer's story, I felt like was appropriate to bring up today. Because I just want to say to somebody who never is going to be a father, like, F you, you don't get to decide somebody else's reproductive boundaries, limits, and moral beliefs. He said that it's basically exploiting women's uteruses. And I couldn't disagree more. Science is a miracle, and God made science, Pope. So get it together. And then I also want to shout out New Jersey Governor Murphy, which this is huge for people in New Jersey. The definition of infertility was expanded earlier this year. I recently talked about it on Pix 11 News. You can see the clip in my reels or in my link, talking about how the expansion of definition provides more coverage and is more inclusive of different diverse relationships. But New Jersey took it even farther by using that expanded term to take away age limits on insurance coverage for fertility. So sometimes you'll have a state where they're like, sorry, if you're over 40, we're not going to cover this. New Jersey has removed that. I hope many states follow. And then they also expanded in the name of the new definition, what relationship status or sexual orientation you have in order to receive coverage. Major step in the right direction. Just want to shout that out. Please remember that you do not have to go through anything alone, especially not infertility. And so if you or someone you love is struggling to build their family, send them my way. Grab a 15-minute call with me. Let me see if I can help in any way. And in the meantime, follow, follow, follow the Fertility Chick, Abby Feeder, In Circle Fertility on Instagram. Love, rate, and review the podcast. And I will see you next week.